Thursday, Kim.
Well, Sonny, I understand you're beginning with boxing.
Kim, it's time to climb between the ropes once again with our reigning prince of pugilistics, Namdi Hollywood Moeta. Good evening, Namdi.
Hey, good evening, Sonny.
Amir Khan versus Saul Canelo Alvarez, May 7th in Las Vegas, Nevada. Your reaction, Namdi?
Well, I thought it was a joke because Amir Khan is not a middleweight. Amir Khan is what we call a welterweight, which is 147 pounds. So Amir Khan is jumping like two weight classes to meet the Mexican pit bull Canelo.
At what weight will this fight be at?
Well, the middleweight weight class is 160 pounds. But for this fight, there's a special weight class, which is called the catch weight. The both sides agreed to do a catch weight fight.
What is that catch weight?
Catch weight is when the both fighters decides to go and do a private contract. So both agree that, okay, we will not go above this limit. If you go above this limit, you will be fined. So the both sides agree, okay, we'll do it at 155, less than 5 pounds, less than the middleweight class, which is the 160 pounds.
What about after the weigh-in, Namdi? Can't each fighter put on a lot of weight, like water weight?
This is where the fans were just like surprised that there's no rehydration clause in this contract. Rehydration clause means that you cannot go above certain weight after the weigh-in. Mind you, the weigh-in, the fight is on Saturday night. The weigh-in is Friday afternoon. So come fight night, which is Saturday night, Canelo can balloon from 155 pounds to 185. And the most Khan can do will be like 168. So Canelo will be much bigger, way bigger than Khan, and a disadvantage for Khan.
It sounds like Khan can win only through his speed and maybe on points, Namdi, that he's not going to really be able to hurt Canelo.
Amir Khan does not have the power to knock out Canelo. Amir Khan is a welterweight who has no power. So all he can do is tick and move, run, hold, tie up Canelo. Basically, he needs, apart from a strength coach in his camp, he needs a ballet coach. So he can be able to slide and move. Because if he makes the mistake, one silly mistake of standing to go toe-to-toe with Canelo, he will be knocked out and he may end up in the ICU.
Let's talk venue, Namdi. Where is this fight going to take place?
This fight will open the brand new venue at the MGM Grand Casino. It's called the T-Mobile Arena. The T-Mobile Arena is 22,000 people strong. So we're looking at a live gate that will bring close to $18 million, Sonny. So everybody would like to go into this brand new arena May 7th, and it's a big weekend for Latino boxing fans, Cinco de Mayo. So look for a sellout and a big, huge live gate.
Namdi, I remember you telling our VOA boxing fans that you thought Mayweather would open this new arena. Has there been any reaction from Mayweather about Khan Canelo?
Well, Mayweather is always sitting and watching what's going to happen. He's waiting to see who will come out on top. If Canelo loses to Amir Khan, expect Mayweather to come out for number 50 against Amir Khan. You know, this is boxing. This is not wrestling. It's not scripted like wrestling. Anything can happen. Amir Khan can come and make Canelo look stupid. Go back and look at the fight between Mayweather and Canelo. Amir Khan may get a blueprint from that fight and beat Canelo easy on May 7th. It can happen.
Let's talk about the pay-per-view numbers, Namdi. Khan, he's got this Arab heritage in his family. Canelo, the pride of Mexico. What are we looking at for possible pay-per-view numbers?
Sonny, we're looking at good numbers. When we talk about good numbers, we're looking at a fight that could bring in close to $100 million. Amir Khan is a British-Pakistani. He's going to bring in a lot from the Arab world. We're talking about UAE, United Arab Republic, United Arab Emirates. We're looking at Saudi Arabia, Kuwait, and Bahrain, all these countries. Big rollers coming in for this fight. Then you throw in your Pakistan, you throw in your India, and the whole of Europe. Plus the U.S. with Canelo and Mexico and all that, $100 million plus, and the Live Gate and the what we call the closed circuit, it's a huge fight, Sonny.
Thanks, Namdi. That's our reigning prince of pugilistics, Namdi Hollywood Moeta. Joining us once again on the sunny side of sports is David Legg, our African football guru. Good evening, David.
Thank you, Sonny.
In African club football, David, preliminary round, first leg action coming up in the CAF Champions League and CAF Confederation Cup tournaments. Let's begin with the Champions League, David. And how about a preview?
Right, Sonny. And on Friday, we have a couple of matches to get the ball rolling, so to speak. And one of the first fixtures is also, I think, one of the most attractive, potentially, of the weekend. It's Vipers Sports Club of Uganda making their debut up against Enyimba of Nigeria. Enyimba, winners of the title in 2003 and again in 2004. The only Nigerian club to win the CAF Champions League. Enyimba did not do well last year, Sonny. Went out of the last 32 stage. And it's going to be a tough one, particularly this first leg in Kampala. And it'll be interesting to see if Vipers field Farouk Maya. He is, of course, the young star of the Ugandan national team. He had an unfortunate chance in the sense that he was injured in the first game, missed the second game, and was well policed in the third game. So he didn't make quite the impression that we were all expecting. But nevertheless, he's a consistent goal scorer. He operates from the left wing. He's only 18 years of age. And provided he can agree personal terms, he will be off shortly to Belgium to play for Standard Liège. But if he does play, Enyimba would be well advised to pay a lot of attention to him. That match is on Friday afternoon in Kampala. And then when we move on to Saturday, young Africans of Tanzania, who are regular campaigners in Africa, but don't really make a great impression, they're in Mauritius to play Circle Joachim. Zesco United of Zambia, they're at home to Al Ghazal of South Sudan. And then another very attractive pairing, a Southern African derby, so to speak, is Chicken Inn of Zimbabwe, another debutant, against Mamelodi Sundowns of South Africa. Now, Sundowns at the moment, 6 points ahead in the South African Premiership, looking very impressive indeed. And interestingly, one of the stars of their team is a Zimbabwean. It's Kama Biliat, diminutive player, very creative, scores a lot of goals. And he's sure to get a hot reception in Lubevi Stadium in Bulawayo, which is the second city in Zimbabwe. The Zimbabwean teams generally, Sonny, they raise their game when they come up against opposition from South Africa. And this would be a really tough one for Sundowns and an interesting early test of their credentials, because they're hyper-ambitious and they want nothing less than to actually win the CAF Champions League. Over in East Africa on Saturday, Gor Mahia of Kenya, they play Knaps Sport of Madagascar. Now, that is a replay of a preliminary round matchup last year, and it was a really close call, with Gor winning 1-0 in Nairobi, losing 3-2 on the huge island of Madagascar, and the Kenyans squeezing through on the away goal rule. On to Sunday, and the second South African challengers, Kaizer Chiefs, they're up against Falcon Club in the Comores. Over to West Africa, we've got Ashanti Gold of Ghana playing host to Mouloudia Bejaia of Algeria. And that is going to be a tough one for Ashanti Gold, who back in 1997, when the CAF Champions League was launched, they were the runners-up to Raja Casablanca of Morocco. The second Nigerian representatives, Wari Wolves, they've got plenty of African experience in the CAF Confederation Cup, but this is their debut in the Champions League. And they've got a fairly straightforward task. They're up against a team called Club Sporting Praia Cruz from Sao Tome e Principe. Now, Sao Tome e Principe, one of the weaker African football nations. And I would expect Wally Wolves to win that game by 2-3 or possibly even more goals. Certainly, anything other than a convincing victory for Wally Wolves would be a surprise there. We should also wish well, Sonny, Nimba United. They're another debutant club. They're from Liberia. And they're up against the 1979 champions, Union Douala of Cameroon. That match is in Monrovia on Sunday afternoon.
Thanks for that CAF Champions League preview, David. That's David Legg, our African football guru, speaking with us once again from Johannesburg, South Africa.
They're playing back.
The National Basketball Association will hold its 65th annual All-Star Game on Sunday in Toronto, Canada. It marks the first time the popular exhibition contest has been held outside the United States. The game will be played at Air Canada Center, the home arena of the NBA's Toronto Raptors Club. The Raptors had two players selected for the All-Star Game, guards Kyle Lowry and DeMar DeRozan, and I expect both players will hear a few cheers from the partisan crowd in Toronto. The reigning NBA champion Golden State Warriors are the only club with three players selected for the All-Star Game: guard Klay Thompson, forward Draymond Green, and sharpshooter Stephen Curry, the league's current MVP and leading scorer. And while Curry should get a lot of attention in Toronto, so will Los Angeles Lakers superstar Kobe Bryant, who announced this season his 20th in the NBA will be his last. Kobe received almost 1.9 million votes in fan balloting for the All-Star Game. That's the most by any player, and Kobe will start for the Western Conference All-Stars. I encourage our VOA listeners to check out my latest Sunny Side of Sports blog post, which is on the NBA's 65th All-Star Game in Toronto. The address is blogs.voanews.com/sunny. Once again, that address,